DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered St. Padre Pio, who became a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Good morning, Monsignor. How are you?
Happy feast.
Happy feast.
Yes.
What a great day.
It is. I woke up with a joy that this was the feast of the Holy Spirit. In my heart today, there's nothing more important for the church than the Feast of Pentecost. It is the most important feast of the church. When we celebrate Pentecost, we're talking about the greatest news that we could bring to all of mankind. I used to image that if I only had 15 minutes and I had all the microphones in the world in front of me, and I had all the television, and I could now speak to the world, this is what I talk about. What we're going to talk about today, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. You see, Adam and Eve had everything in the garden. They had all of the blessings of being in the garden of paradise. And that's how the Bible begins. God and Adam and Eve, our first parents, they had everything plus this relationship with God. God was the friend of Adam, and God was a friend of Eve. He loved them, and they loved him. And he was going to place them on a test, which he gave them. Our first parents failed the test. They sinned against God. And that relationship, primarily, that's what happened. The relationship was broken between God and Adam and Eve, therefore all of mankind. Since all of us are children of Adam and Eve, our family has been alienated from God because of their sin. Through the instigation of Satan, all of mankind fell under the power of Satan and was now, they not only had the relationship with God, they were never going to die, and death came into the world. And so sin and Satan and death took over. And all mankind was left with was life, and yet he was going to die, and his free will. With this horrible brokenness, there was a promise, I will save you, I will redeem you. But all of the human race had been lost. And it went on for 100 years, 1,000 years. It went on, and 10,000 years. And it took all of those millennia for this story to unfold. And it continued on and on until almost a very short time ago, God said, I had promised that I would save you. And he appeared to a man by the name of Abraham. That's the story of the Bible. And the first man to believe the voice of God, God said, you are the one through whom I will send the Savior into the world. And he was the father of the faith and also the father of the Jews. And to him was given the promise, I will send you a son. That son was Isaac. And he then had a son. His name was Jacob, and then the 12 tribes. And the story of the Bible unfolds. But of that tribe was going to be born a Savior. And one of those tribes was the tribe of Judah. And of that tribe, there was a king, and his name was David. And of that family, God said, I will send one of your heirs to reign on your throne, King David, and he will reign forever. That continued on, and that promise was made. A woman, a child of that tribe, Mary, was conceived without sin, and of her was going to be born the Savior. An angel came to her, and God revealed to her, the first one, that he not only was God, but he was a Trinity, that he had a son, and his son, he asked her to be that son's mother. And that son was born of her, not by human procession, but by God's intervention through the Holy Spirit. That is the person that we're celebrating today. Jesus was born and conceived in the womb of Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. That Savior was in her, and he was born of her. And so Christmas is a great feast that we have, and we celebrated that. We celebrated his life, and during Lent, we celebrated his suffering and his death. And at Easter, we celebrated his resurrection. Now, for the very first time in the history of mankind, there is a man, a human, who rose from the dead. Death is conquered. There is a man, Jesus, who was sinless. And now, at the ascension, is entering heaven, and his name is Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But his plan was that same Spirit that he sent upon Mary to have her conceive of Jesus, he sent into the world on men who were the apostles, and transformed them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And through baptism, he transformed men. That's the beginning of the church. The church on earth is Jesus in the world. And so we read in Corinthians, in Ephesians, in the teachings of the Bible, that Jesus is the head. We are the members. We read in the Bible, Jesus is the cornerstone. We are the living stones connected to Jesus. That is the temple of God. The New Jerusalem is the church. We who are baptized are the church. The news that I bring today at Pentecost is so powerful. If you who are listening to me, who have been baptized, would awaken to the truth, you may be so far away from the church right now. You haven't gone to Mass. You haven't gone to communion. No, but if you're baptized, in you, never to be erased, is Jesus. You may be a sinner and have created and come all your life, you may have sinned, but with all kinds of horrible things. But you are in him, and he is in you. All you need to do is to repent. Go deep into your heart, and you will find him in you, with you. He wants to remain in you, and you in him. That's what he says. The only thing that can take you away from him, and he is pursuing you, wanting you, desiring you, and through my voice, wanting you to come to him more fully and be who you are. You have within you the greatest gift. You may be 72 years old and haven't darkened the church for years. He's in you, and he'll never leave you. And the Holy Spirit is constantly drawing you and calling you to be one with him. You may be in hospice, and you may be 55 years old, and you may be dying. He's in you. And the whole message, especially for those who are baptized, repent. And you will be, even in your heart, you'll confess. And in your lips, you'll profess. And you'll be saved. All you have to do is ask God. Respond to the call. The Holy Spirit is constantly calling. You are God's son. God is your father. You are Christ in the world today. And everything that's happened to you has happened to him. Whatever you've been through, he's been through it with you. The only thing that prevents you from union with him is your sin. And all of us are sinners. He is infinitely merciful. There's nothing you've ever done that he cannot forgive. His love is infinite. Your sins are finite. And if you have not been baptized, all you have to do, if you're in the same situation, is repent and be baptized, and you will be saved. Baptism, which is what the church offers and brings, water and the Holy Spirit, unites you with the head. That's how available he has made himself to all of mankind, to the ends of the world. If you're hearing this in India and you understand what is being said, you also can be united with him. If you're hearing this in China, you can be united with him. If you're hearing this in Russia, you can be united with him, wherever you may be in the entire world. God is so in love with you, he has made himself available through the power of the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down like a fire all over the world, a fire of love of every human being. There are 6 billion people on this planet, and he knows every one of us, and he wants to save every one of us, and you are precious to him. So precious that he sent Jesus. He suffered, he died, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and is pleading for you at the right hand of the Father right now, and wants you to be with him for all eternity through the power of the Holy Spirit. What a great feast this is. There are great powers in the world in our day. I honestly believe this is the most unpreached, untaught truth. It's the most magnificent teaching of Jesus that can be preached or taught. I believe there's one who has done it, and he's Billy Graham. What I am saying, he has said very well. He's a preacher, and he's a teacher of salvation through, with, and in Jesus Christ. That is the power of this sacrament. Baptism, union with Jesus Christ. We have another great light that who really preached this, a powerful teacher, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, preached this salvation for all of mankind. Padre Pio was one of these great lights in the world. I thank God for Mother Teresa, who preached this and taught it. She was like a great light in the world, lighting up the world through the power of salvation for the least and the lost. But you know, every one of us has, what does baptism teach? That I on Pentecost and became Jesus Christ. And so in this past week, there was a beautiful priest. He was here from Tyler, Texas, Father Patrick. He was telling me that he was in his parish, and he was at Mass, and there was a baby crying. This baby, he knew, had a tumor, a brain tumor, a malignant brain tumor, had been analyzed. And the baby, the mother brought, he wasn't very eloquent or familiar with Spanish, but something, as he began Mass, in his heart, told him, I want you to go and take that baby and have the baby under the altar for the Mass. And he said to the Holy Spirit in his heart, who inspired him to do this, well, I pray that that baby keeps quiet because it's screaming and crying. By the time it came after his homily, he went down. The baby was quiet. He asked the mother to take the baby. He just took the baby from the mother and placed it beneath the altar. And the baby was sleeping. Quietly fell asleep. He went and he had the Mass. There on the altar is Jesus, the Son of God. When he said the words, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. Aware that Jesus is right here, and the inspiration in his heart that this child will be healed. I am here. I have the same power. And after he had the Mass, he picked the baby up simply and gave it back to the mother. And he said simply to the mother, have that baby tested. The child was taken by the mother, and the doctor said, there must be something wrong here. This is not the same baby, or this is completely gone. The tumor was completely gone. Jesus said, what I have done, you will do, and even greater things. Fathers, if you're listening to this, you have that power. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, there are miracles yet to be done. Jesus wants to be a power in the world through you, in you, and with you. This father came from Michigan, a father from Lansing, and he was here. He actually has great power of reading souls. When he was with a person, he just simply was able to tell them something no one knew about them. And when he would reveal this to them, he had the gift of prophecy through the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing about a tremendous conversion in the soul of a woman who was almost in despair. This power is given to you, Father. He has such gifts of reading a soul, knowing something about a person that was so completely transforming, healing, blessing. The power of the Holy Spirit in him to drive out demons, to bring about peace, to do prophecy, to have knowledge. Where is that from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been gifted in the church today. All of these gifts that we have been talking about, the gifts of miracles, the gifts of knowledge, the gifts of teaching, the gifts of wisdom, all of these powers come through the Holy Spirit. We in the church are the light of the world. We in the church today are Christ in the world today. God is in me, in you, in all of us, by the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest feast of the church, the Feast of Pentecost. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us long for and call for the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Spirit of God. I know a priest in Canada who can actually break covens. He can smash where demons are being worshipped and honored, the covens that are want to destroy the people and the work of people of God in the world. The power of God is in the church. We are so powerful in Christ and through Christ and with Him. I bring good news. The news, you see, the bad news. What was the news that came from the fall of Adam and Eve? Cain killed his brother. Horrible. It's right there in the Bible. Did you just hear on the television and read in the paper, this little boy, 12 years old, killed his 8-year-old sister? It's the same thing. The wickedness in the world is out there. The violence and the wars and the horrors that took place in Boston, where people want to injure and hurt and destroy and bring terror. It's all there in the Bible, over and over again. The story of mankind is that loss that we had from the garden. But the garden is now being restored through Pentecost. We have been banished from paradise. Jesus has opened the gates of paradise. To whom? To me and to you. Not only to Billy Graham. Not only to Bishop Sheen. Not only to Padre Pio. Not only to Mother Teresa. But to all of us. There is in me and in you a power. There can be in you and all of us who have not been baptized, a power, the power to be Christ on earth through water and the Holy Spirit. The great gifts that are being poured out upon us.
Such a powerful gift that we have and such a time to be able to share those with others. What do you think prevents that from occurring in the hearts of people? I mean, are we too timid maybe sometimes?
That's what I think. We are so maybe unexpectant. It couldn't be this good beyond our wildest imagination. What could be greater than God saying to me and to you, I want to be in you and I want you to be in me? That is really what this is. That the one that I am, I want you to be. I want you to be one with me in my family. Wow. Not just near me. No, I want you to be in me. I want to have a relationship with you. That is, I want to be your father. And I want you to be my daughter. Really? Yeah. I want you to be a princess. The Queen of England, you know, we have this kind of thing with royalty. She is nothing in comparison. To be born into a royal family. We are born into the family of God through baptism. When you were baptized, Chris, the priest placed on you that kind of ointment or oil, the anointing, as queens and kings get, and over the crown of your head, that the crown of the king, the crown of the queen, is on you. If you could see the magnificent beauty of the crown you wear, a princess in the kingdom of God. Your angel now is prostrate before you in worship at the beauty of God within you and in every single person who has been baptized. You, my beloved brother and sister, no matter what you think you are or how you have drifted, you are a son of God. Your angel is aware, and the Spirit wants you to become aware of your magnificence, your beauty, that you are a prince who is going to live forever in paradise, and for you has been prepared an eternal home, won by the blood of your brother Jesus, for you, for all eternity. You're not just a multi-billionaire. You are a child of God, far greater than anything this world could ever offer. More, the scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Issif. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer authentic and rock-solid spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, please consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Issif.